Good morning, everyone. I know you all have your 10,000 steps in from registration to this building, so that's good. We're all starting out healthy this morning. I am the senior epidemiologist at the U.S. Department of Energy, actually in Washington. Our main building is on the Mall, and then we have our bomb shelter building, which was built in the early 1970s, is in Germantown, Maryland, just about 20 miles north of here, and that's actually physically where I am. I run this program with Dr. Cliff Strader, who is the program manager. And I'm going to try to figure out how to advance this. Yes, there is my disclosure. I am a civil servant. I do not serve in Congress, therefore I get no extra money. And no relationships to the court disclosed, although I'm not sure they disclose them anyway. Okay. The Department of Energy is a unique industrial complex with diverse activities in energy research, nuclear security, and environmental restoration. And if you don't understand the jargon of nuclear security, that's where all the bombs are, the atomic weapons complex. It's actually within the Department of Energy, not the Department of Defense. And that was how the agency was set up. And environmental restoration is actually cleanup of the facilities from waste in the production of the nuclear weapons and during the Cold War. There's the potential workforce exposures are radiologic, chemical, and physical hazards. And as you see, it's quite a diverse array. We have biofuels, nanoparticles, which is rather new and of increasing importance, and then again the radiation and chemical exposures from the nuclear security activities, which primarily now is dismantling the atomic weapons. The Department of Energy monitors the health of the workforce through the Injury and Illness Surveillance Program. The program actually started in the early 1990s when our office was created. I was actually one of the first members of the office at that time. The whole idea is to protect and improve worker health and safety. So we monitor morbidity rates among workers, and this is primarily through absenteeism. We identify groups that increase risk for disease or injury. We provide answers to questions from workers, our site physicians, management, the public, and others that are concerned about occupational health effects. And we identify areas in which further investigation or other activities, so we can do small studies based on our findings. So we're looking at the current workforce. We produce reports. Every site has a site-specific report, and then we do annual roll-ups, which includes all of the sites. And let me just show you. These are online. I'm sorry that I forgot to put down our address, but if you like it, you can go to hsf.energy.gov, and we have this beautiful report, which is really the report for epidemiologists, scientists, people who want to know the nitty-gritty. And then we also produce the short manager report, which is half the size and lots of nice pictures with pithy sayings so that the managers can get an idea of what's going on their site without being overwhelmed by the more technical aspects. We put out these reports, they're rolling reports. We did our first one in 1995 through 2004, then we rolled it up 5 years, and we're looking at the next 10 years of data. So, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today when I present some data. So, go to the next slide here. DOE is a complex that spans the United States. The sites are run by the government, but through contractor organizations. So these contractors conduct the mission activities for the Department of Energy. So some of the names are Westinghouse and Battelle. They're gigantic contractors that follow DOE rules and orders. The workers, however, at the complex are not federal employees, and I'll refer to them as our contractor workforce. Right now, we have 15 participating sites out of about 30 sites across the United States, 30 sites that make up the department's complex. And every site is different. Every site has a different contractor or multiple contractors. There are sometimes 10, 15 contractors working at a site. And of course, every contractor has their own computer system, which becomes a real challenge and a lot of fun when you're trying to collect data. DOE requires that all contract workers absent 5 or more consecutive work days or an equivalent work week, that can be 4 10-hour days, for example, that have to clear back through the site occupational medicine clinic if they're out due to injury or illness. So when I talk about an absence is 5 or more consecutive work days. So we also look at occupational and non-occupational diagnoses associated with absenteeism. So we're not strictly looking at just things that we would classify occupational, because sometimes what you think may not be occupational later on can actually be an occupational disease or injury. These are coded to ICD-9. We are slowly looking at the ICD code, which if you're familiar with ICD-10, you're all, like as we are, just befuddled, because we're going from maybe 1,000 codes to 10,000 codes. So I know we've been wrestling with this problem as you are. We also collect our occupational medical clinic supply, our diagnoses. We get demographic information on the workers through human resources, work history through either our industrial hygiene or health physics departments, job titles, service dates, monitoring programs such as we have beryllium monitoring, hearing loss, radiation workers, and respirator fitness testing. So they would be part of our monitoring programs. We also collect OSHA recordables based on the OSHA 300 log. We have a data center that is located at the Oak Ridge Institute for Science and Education, which is in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. At each of our sites, we have a data collector who works in collating all of the information, getting our return to work information once a worker goes through the occupational medicine clinic, and sends that data electronically to our data center. All of this is done electronically. We don't care what system is out there. We've worked it so that they could send it in any language, any type of program. When it comes into our data center, then it gets translated. So we didn't make the occupational medicine clinics change. We changed to fit them, which really helped a lot in initiating this program. All of the identifiers are removed. They're kept at the site. They're encrypted by the occupational medicine clinic. It's stored in a SQL server. We have stringent physical security requirements. And when we present data, it's only presented in summary or aggregate so that nobody can try to tease apart who these workers are. The database is also limited to the Department of Energy employees like me, people who are actually working on that. We don't allow others to share this data. Criteria for site participation. Well, when we started in the 1990s, actually Hanford was the first site that we enrolled, followed by the Idaho Engineering Laboratory, and we've added since that time. It depends on the data that's available, the interest of the occupational physician, the site management. We look at how big the site is to make sure that we can have enough enrollees and the funding availability from headquarters from us. Currently, we have more than 131,000 current workers in our database. So it's a rather large database. And I will present data from 1999 to 2008. We actually have data through 2010. Okay. So here's our workforce. It's 130,000 workers. Males make up 70% of the workforce in rather traditional way. Here are our age-adjusted rates by gender. We have women have more than 50% higher rates than males, and the rates have been going down over time. In 10 years, we've had about 92,000 absences of 5 or more days. I'm going to show you, this is our age stratified rates, and as you can see, the older you are, the more absenteeism there is among the employees. It's strongly associated with age. We have over 10,000 job titles, and they vary across the complex, and we've binned them for your convenience into 7 groups. And we work with our data coordinators. We take into account SES, job hazards, whether they're exposed to radiation or physical hazards. So we narrow these down to 7. Our professionals are the lowest, have the lowest number of absenteeisms, sort of the white-collar worker. Our highest are in our crafts and line operators. Line operators are actually the chemical workers, our material handlers, reactor operators, and process operators. And for as long as I've been working there, they're not high in any specific rate, in any type of single diagnosis. They're just high in everything. Respiratory conditions are actually our number one reason for absenteeism. Primarily, 21% of them are due to the flu. Get your flu shots. 14% for chronic obstructive conditions such as emphysema. Again, you'll see that these line operators are high. Our service workers are also high, which includes our custodials, laborers, people of that ilk. So they're consistently high, but no specific injury or illness or disease shouts out at us. It's just that way. These are just selected absentee rates that I'm showing you. Circulatory conditions are also high. These are include hypertension, ischemic heart disease, cerebral vascular events. And again, those security and workers, the line operators, our service workers tend to show the highest rates through time. I thought this might be interesting in terms of the impact of diabetes, hypertension in the workforce, because we actually mimic the non-workforce. This basically follows trends in the United States. If you look at these, are comparing our diabetics and those with high blood pressure, those who are just hypertensive with our non-diseased workers. These are absentee rates for those particular categories, and you can see the impact of having these two chronic conditions on the workers, and it's especially demonstrated in this slide. This is the average number of calendar days absent. So diabetes and hypertension really take a toll. This data really supports having clinics on site so the workers don't lose time to avail themselves to those occupational medicine services. And if this doesn't shout out why managers should be supporting this program, I don't know what kind of data would. I'm also showing here absence rates for injuries, and I have 1 minute left. So I'm going to show you our OSHA event rates. These are based on the OSHA recordable. It's the OSHA 300 form. the Department of Energy is in red, and we have a pretty good track record in terms of our occupation. These are solely occupational injury and illnesses. It's about half of, we compare what we thought would be a good comparison, the chemical and allied products industry. And again, these are by our seven groups, and the professionals tend to be at the bottom of the heap, and our security line operators and service workers always are at the top. However, it's nice to show that our rates have declined by about half during the 10 years. We've really put an emphasis on reduction of occupational injuries. So I think I just did this in 15 minutes. Let's be careful out there.